Within the book, Communicating at Work, there is a discussion of what has been called the confrontation continuum. Confrontation process allows you to get at the root causes of the conflict in a productive manner. You're indirectly trying to say, well, let's exchange ideas. Let's do it pleasantly. Let's do it comfortably. I will try to hear you, and I will take your opinion into account before I state mine. But then I want you to hear my opinions. Take them into account. Once we've exchanged our opinions, we will decide on the best option. This is not a contest for superiority. Anyone who has been involved in a confrontation of this kind knows that there are many levels of confrontation. At the beginning, there may be a simple misunderstanding or a sense that one party is not being heard by the other. The other end of the confrontation continuum, conflict may be so severe that it jeopardizes the organization's goals. At the beginning of the continuum, we need to achieve understanding. At the other end, we must demand a change in behavior. As you move along the continuum, different confrontational strategies can be used to resolve the conflict. As we discuss these strategies that seem to make up a progressive series which can be used to resolve escalating conflict, as the conflict moves from merely beginning a matter of achieving understanding to a need for behavior change, the confrontation can incorporate more aggressive strategies. First in the confrontation continuum is reflection. In this stage, you demonstrate your sincere desire to understand the person's feelings and needs. You gather data. You build rapport with the other person. By reflecting the feelings you hear that the person is expressing, you give him a chance to correct your impressions and to elaborate on your comment. The form of this statement is generally something like this. Well, I understand that you feel unappreciated because you're not invited to the weekly staff meetings. This is known as reflection. The second area in the confrontation continuum is what is known as the I statement. With I statements, you reveal your feelings, asserting your own needs and objectives in a non-judgmental fashion. You want the other person to understand your feelings, and you want the other person to understand your reasons. These statements follow this general pattern. Well, I feel angry when you ignore the safety rules because you and others might get hurt. The I statement. And then within the confrontation continuum, there is diplomatic disagreement. In the diplomatic disagreement stage, you try to achieve understanding in a gentle, tactful manner. You want the other person to understand your reasoning, and you certainly try to understand his. You want the person to know that you value the relationship. The format for this stage includes reflection and an I statement. Example, I understand that you think we need a new computer. I appreciate your position and realize that you think it will improve our productivity. I believe we should wait because a new model is about to be released. And then another step or stage in the confrontation continuum is what is known as gentle confrontation. In gentle confrontation, you try to cause a change in behavior and build the relationship at the same time. You want to suggest the change in a tactful, somewhat tentative fashion. The format includes reflection, which is an indication that the other person is valued, and the I statement, as well as an indication of the consequences. To illustrate this gentle confrontation, you think the accounting department should pay our vendors immediately. Well, I appreciate your position, and I understand it helps you negotiate better prices. I feel frustrated, however, because I'm trying to manage our cash flow as well as our profits. If you continue to pressure the accounting department, it will make it much more difficult for me to manage the cash flow and investments. That could result in vendors going unpaid and a reduction in profits, which could impact our own profit sharing. And then the next stage in this confrontation continuum is the firm confrontation. In the firm confrontation, you try to clear up disagreements and cause a definite change in behavior. The change in behavior really is your primary objective. For example, you could add this statement to the format already given. In the future, I would appreciate it if you would come to me for any special payment request. Now, throughout the entire confrontational process, there are certainly some basic guidelines that will help make the process more productive. But what are some of these guidelines? First, there's the guideline of timing. Is the person ready to listen? If you're trying to tell someone why showing up late for work every day isn't in his best interest, doing it right before he checks in probably isn't a good time. He knows he's late. He knows that you know he's late. He's probably feeling defensive. Wait until you have something positive to say about his performance. Then you can tell him how his tardiness is affecting the overall perception of his commitment and performance. So timing is important. And then you should focus on current specifics. Talk about behavior that is happening today, not something that happened last week or last month. And then state your feelings. When you tell someone how you feel, you are keeping the conversation open rather than focusing it on the other person. For example, when you come to work late, I feel really angry because the rest of us have to wait for you before we can start on the project. Now, confrontation is a powerful conflict resolution strategy which requires a great deal of skill and practice. Most of us are relatively unfamiliar with the process, and it may take some training and even role-play practice before everyone in the organization acquires the skills necessary to use these individual strategies. However, once everyone in the organization learns to be more sensitive to timing, to focus on current specific behaviors, and to state their own feelings about these behaviors, a large percentage of conflicts can be resolved more productively. It's also important to remember that people only change when it is in their best interest to do so. Cannot make another person change, no matter how persistent your argument, but you can increase his motivation to do so by appealing to his self-interest. If you're irritated by a coworker's behavior, for instance, focus less on how he affects you and more on how your reaction affects him. Tell John that you are less motivated to work with him on his project because of the way his put-downs make you feel. Let John look at himself in the mirror, so to speak, so that he can consider what his behavior is costing him. In essence, you're saying this: John, when you put me down, it makes me angry, and I don't feel like working with you on this project. You're telling him how his behavior makes you feel and what that behavior cost him. Often people are afraid to be confrontational and assertive because they're unsure of the reaction that they will get. Most of us try to avoid confrontations which might create anger, defensiveness, or even rejection. You can avoid this reaction, and you can still be assertive through the sensitivity with which you express your concerns. The confrontation continuum gives you a series of strategies to help you assert yourself in a way that reduces conflict rather than accelerating it. For instance, only someone completely ignorant of the conflict resolution strategies that we've been discussing would accuse another person on the basis of his personality to say, "Well, you're lazy," or "You're ignorant," "You're mean." This is labeling. This is hazardous. Not only because it can be wrong, but because it puts the other person where? On the defensive. Most of us do not have the expertise to know or understand another person's intentions. When we attack a perceived attribute of a personality, we are hitting the core of that very person. A very normal response is to react defensively or to deny the accusation. The conflict resolution guidelines and the confrontation continuum strategies help us to achieve understanding or a change in behavior without destroying the other person's morale. Sometimes, though, it's not enough to know what we should do. We need to be able to recognize what we shouldn't do. In a conflict situation, emotions may be extremely sensitive, and we may offend without intending to. Here are some strategies that generally escalate a conflict rather than resolving it. One strategy to avoid would be minimization. Sometimes we do not recognize the seriousness of an action or perception, and we make light of it through humor or sarcasm. We minimize it. When this happens, the other person feels unvalued and belittled. Often the person takes your minimization as a personal attack. When someone brings a problem to our attention, the first thing that we need to do is acknowledge it. Which of the following responses do you feel would be more effective? Here's the situation. The engineer. I'm afraid the O-ring might fail at low temperatures. Manager 1. Well, that's not your problem. Worry about how we're going to meet our next deadline. Manager 2. I appreciate your concern. What makes you think that? Which response is better? The first, minimize. The second, ask for more details. A second strategy to avoid is blame. While blame can often be attached to the last person who touched a situation, most problems are too complex to be totally caused by one person or one factor. The focus should be on preventing future problems rather than placing the blame. Which of the following responses do you feel would be most effective? Here's the situation. Here's a salesperson. We didn't get the Smith account. Manager 1. What did you do wrong? Manager 2. What could we have done better? A third strategy to avoid is unloading. When people have worked together for a long time, there are often numerous small grievances which have been unmentioned. When a large problem sparks a conflict, the temptation is to unload that past baggage, and this is an overwhelming temptation. While it might make the person unloading feel better, this is not a productive conflict resolution strategy. The other person might legitimately complain that you have brought these problems up. The other person might legitimately complain that you should have brought these problems up when they occurred. Again, here's a situation. The employee arrives late for work. Manager 1. Not only are you late, but last week there was an additional error in the report you submitted, and you've never turned in the Murphy proposal that was due over a month ago. Manager 2. Is everything okay? I know you're only a few minutes late, but you normally seem so committed, and recently you've seemed to be distracted. Is there anything I can do? Another strategy to avoid has been identified as low blows. As we work with people, we begin to understand their sensitivities. Hitting one of these emotionally touchy areas can escalate a conflict out of control and make it very difficult to regain lost ground. Again, which of the following responses is more effective? The situation, an employee misses a meeting. Coworker 1. No wonder you were fired from your last job. Obviously, you were incapable of managing your time. Coworker 2. I really needed your support in this morning's meeting. You know, I took a time management course that really seemed to help me get organized, but maybe you should take it the next time it's offered. Another strategy to avoid is manipulation. Using personal charm or approval to get someone to do something you want done without regard to the other person's needs or objectives is manipulation. This also includes withholding approval or withholding rewards in order to get the desired action. Again, which of the following would be most correct? The situation. The manager wants an employee to work overtime. Manager 1. If you'll work overtime tonight, I'll remember it when the review time comes up. Manager 2. I'm sorry to ask you at the last minute, but we have a crisis with the ABC project. If we don't get it finished tonight, the company may lose the whole project. Could you possibly work tonight? Another strategy to avoid is force. This is the I don't care what you want, do it my way approach. If all you want is to get immediate action, it works. And if it's only used on extremely rare occasions, it's an effective way to get something done immediately. But it's demoralizing to the other person because it does not acknowledge his worth or his ideas. Again, which of the following would seem to be the most appropriate? The situation. The manager wants to change the work schedule. Manager 1. From now on, our hours are 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Manager 2. Studies show that the prime hours of our customers are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We need to develop a system that will allow us to give the best possible service to our customers during these hours. Do you have any suggestions? Which would be the best? There are 5 basic behaviors which will help you resolve conflict in almost any situation you encounter. They will allow you to benefit from positive disagreement without having these disagreements escalate into out-of-control personality conflicts that damage the morale and productivity of the organization. These basic conflict resolution behaviors are as follows. First, openness. State your feelings and thoughts openly, directly, honestly, without trying to hide or disguise the real objection of your disagreement. Don't attribute negative statements about the other person to unknown others. Use I statements and talk about how you feel and what you want. Focus on current specifics and on identifying the problem. So there must be openness. And then there should be empathy. Listen with empathy. Try to understand and feel what the other person is feeling and to see the situation from her point of view. Demonstrate your understanding and validate the other person's feelings. Comments such as, I appreciate how you feel. I understand your feelings. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Let the other person know that you are sincere in understanding her views. And then there should be supportiveness. Describe the behaviors that you have difficulty with rather than evaluating them. Express your concern for and support of the other person. Let him know that you want to find a solution that benefits both of you. State your position tentatively and with a willingness to change your opinion if appropriate reasons are given. Be willing to support the other person's position, certainly if it makes sense to do so. And then there should be positiveness. Try to identify areas of agreement and emphasize those. Look at the conflict as a way to better understand the entire situation and to possibly find a new and better solution. Be positive about the other person and certainly about your relationship. Express your commitment to finding a resolution that works for everyone. So there should be openness, empathy, supportiveness, positiveness, and equality. Treat the other person and his ideas and opinions as equal. Give the person the time and space to completely express his ideas. Evaluate all ideas and positions logically and without regard to ownership. Conflicts offer many benefits if we can resolve them productively. Healthy disagreement can have a positive, generating effect. As people are forced to work through a problem to its solution, they get a chance to better understand the point of view of others. Successful resolution of small conflicts can diffuse the possibility of more serious conflicts and result, yes, in a better working relationship. The process of exploring problems collaboratively can lead us to acquire more information, new perceptions, and new ideas. We find if we do this that various issues can be clarified. Sometimes it's only through the conflict resolution process that organizations identify and highlight key issues which were rumbling underneath the surface and needed a healthy debate to become apparent. How well we manage conflict resolution can be a critical skill in effective communication. This brings us to the end of our lecture times together. I hope that as we have walked through these moments, we certainly hope you'll find some very practical and helpful principles that will make you a more successful leader, manager, administrator, and communicator in your particular area.